This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. A honeybee lockdown in Australia. Jeremy Zakas is here to help me understand where these locations are so that we can understand the threat. The threat is real. There is a parasite called the Varroa mite. It's worldwide, but Australia has been spared so far. Within these last days, this is the Financial Times reporting, the Varroa mite has shown up at Port of Newcastle. So there's an exclusion zone, like a science fiction movie about a nuclear attack. There's an exclusion zone, or where the aliens have landed and you daren't go near the ship. Around the Port of Newcastle, will that contain it? At this point, they're also reporting that beehives are going to be destroyed in and around Newcastle, and half of Australia's commercial bee industry is in the state of New South Wales. Jeremy, the bees are locked down. It's not yet where you are. Where is the Port of Newcastle from where you are?
Well, John, if you have a look at a map and have a look at Sydney, which is where I am, and just move directly up the map, heading north by about 2 hours' drive, so we're talking about 150 kilometres roughly, that's where the Port of Newcastle is. It's a very big industrial town. It has a very large port there. It's also a major centre for a lot of logistics, so a lot of transport in and out of Australia. And it's also a major part too where we bring in a lot of these goods such as like honey and food industry type goods, because bringing it into Sydney is too hard because it's such a congested port anyway. So a lot of places use Newcastle. So for us, it is actually, by the grand scale of Australia being so large, very, very close to home. And the fact too that they now have actually quarantined the Port of Newcastle for at least bees and certainly the honeybees, that's something I have never seen before. This is breaking new territory.
The spread of Varroa destructor has been blamed in part for a sharp reduction in the number of honeybee colonies outside Australia, as it has spread from Asia to Europe, North and South America, and New Zealand. There's been a mystery for some years about the damage to the honeybee population, and now they've identified it. However, this is a fresh story in Australia. Jeremy will watch it for us, because we've learned that exclusion zones often don't work adequately. The estimate here is that the Varroa mite has been in Australia for 3 months. Half the commercial bee industry is now quarantined. We turn to another creature, and this is a warning. We're going to talk about reptiles. You go to the office. You sit down, and you start your workday. Suddenly, you hear a rustling above you in the light fixture. You look up and there's a shadow. It's moving. Jeremy, what am I looking at?
Oh, John, this is a new one for me. And John, my goodness me, what you're looking at is a carpet python. Now, this is a fairly big snake. So we're not talking about, you know, a couple of feet, 2 or 3 feet. This thing, I believe, was up to 10 feet long. And the fact that it was in the ceiling to start with is what makes this story even creepier. And it happened again in the state of Queensland, which is very well known for all its snakes, including, you know, brown snakes, Great Eastern brown snakes, and also the pythons. And what had happened was that, lo and behold, everybody had turned up to this place of work and somebody noticed that there was some movement in the ceiling. So people, you know, took notice. But then all of a sudden, this shadow, this looming shadow of a snake appeared in the fluorescent light. Now, if you can believe any of those horror movies you've seen where, you know, you see that sort of the creature that's attacking just appear out of the darkness, that is kind of what it was like. This shape of a snake just appeared up in the shadow of the fluorescent. The people there, of course, knew what it was immediately. They called the snake catchers and then began the several hours of trying to find the thing. Because imagine this, John, there's a snake in your ceiling. Where do you start looking for it? It's wrapping itself around conduits, wrapping itself around cables. This thing did not want to get caught, but luckily enough, there is a happy ending. This snake did get caught, but my goodness, John, I've never had this before. I've seen snakes on the ground. I've seen snakes on the road, but not in the ceiling.
It's a python. What is that? Is that dangerous? Is that Eastern brown snake dangerous? What is it? What does it do?
Luckily enough, it's not Eastern brown snake dangerous, which is venomous dangerous, which will kill you very quickly. But the pythons kill their prey by wrapping around you and trying to asphyxiate you. So they are technically very dangerous, especially to small animals. But John, I've got to tell you, I have known people who've had pythons, including one in particular. It was a female python called Wilma. And I can tell you, Wilma had teeth. And Wilma, when she was in a shirty mood, as we like to say, would try and lash out. So pythons, while they won't kill you with venom, if you get bitten by the thing, they will actually hurt. So, you know, again, John, as I hark on every time here, do not touch snakes. All snakes are technically terrible.
Jeremy, the question I have about this office, did they run first or scream first? What do you imagine? I mean, that would be the fastest fire alarm exercise ever. Everybody would be out of that room. And you could see the boss coming in saying, "What's happened? Where's everybody?" And the screaming is down the hallway, and he wants to know, is this an incident? Shall I call the police? It's a python.
I think it's concurrent activity, John. I think there would have been a lot of running and screaming initially, because the thing is, too, with the fluorescent lights, and we saw some photographs of the actual incident, too, those lighting covers are not the strongest, and a 10-foot python is heavy. I mean, we're talking several kilograms here, so at any moment, that python could have come through the ceiling and landed on anybody. So from what I can gather from all the news stories, that they did leave the office very quickly, as they called the snake catchers. So, John, you can imagine a lot of screaming was had by all, and a lot of evacuating the area was also there.
I can see people saying, "I don't care what you say, I'm not going back there ever, ever. I'm moving. We're changing offices." Jeremy, the one detail, though, that's fun to learn is that everything we talk about in Australia can kill you. We don't have creatures like that in Connecticut. We just don't. I mean, they ignore humans. You have creatures that pay attention to humans, that scare humans. Jeremy Zakas, he's in the target zone for a rain bomb. He has to look down for an eastern brown snake that might be crossing the road pretending to be a stick. Or he has to look up because there could be a 10-foot python in the fluorescent lamp of an office he's visiting. Next, however, we're going to go to Jeremy Zakas teaches John Batchelor cricket, because England has triumphed over New Zealand in a test match cricket. What a surprise. Last I saw, it was a contest that was close. When we come back, cricket in England. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.